If you and your family are taking a trip to the Orlando area this year, your little ones deserve to stroll in style. Lugging a stroller from home can be an annoying and frustrating part of the first leg of your journey, and renting those hard plastic strollers from Disney theme parks can be both costly and uncomfortable for your kids. Well, I'm here to tell you about the solution to your child transport problems, and that's Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is a Disney-featured stroller and crib provider that does exactly what you're looking for at a great price. Not only is it less expensive than renting a stroller from the theme parks themselves, but these are padded luxury models with features like drink holders, canopies, storage baskets, and more. What's more, you keep this stroller with you for your entire trip, whereas park-rented strollers, you gotta return them before you leave the park that day. This is gonna make those late-night post-fireworks bus stop queues so much easier, and dad's shoulders are gonna thank you for it. So, how does it work? You just go to kingdomstrollers.com and make your selection on the stroller or crib that's right for your child. Just let the good folks over there know a great time for delivery and pickup and where you'll be staying. You can pick your stroller or crib up from the luggage stand at your resort and then drop them back off there at the end of your stay. So pack light, leave your stroller at home, and save up to a whopping 50% versus park price stroller rentals when you visit kingdomstrollers.com.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Hiya, folks. You're listening to Two Men and the Mouse, episode 110 on the White Dragon Podcast Network, recorded live on May the 16th, 2016. This is your everyday guide to the magic of Walt Disney World and the larger Orlando universe beyond it. My name is Kevin Kessler, and I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Peter Mandel.
Hey, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good. I almost fumbled with the larger Orlando universe, almost the larger Disney universe again. But you know what? I decided to not stop and redo it because I feel that to err is human.
Yeah, today's not a day for perfectionists.
No, not at all. Not at all. Today's a day to kick back and talk some Disney. Right. So folks, we are two lifelong Disney fanatics who have managed to keep the magic of Disney alive in our lives every day. We want to share that magic with you. So pull up a chair, gather the family, or pop in your favorite set of headphones, and let's experience the magic together. Pete!
Kevin.
What's going on?
What are you doing?
Got a lot of positive feedback from our listeners about the audiobook sample. Last week, the end of the show. And pre-orders are currently available. If you go to amazon.com/author/Kevin J. Kessler, you can pre-order the ebook version of my novel. The paperback pre-sales will be available for pre-order probably within the week.
Or ebook, as it's called in France. Right?
Yes, ebook. But in actual like Disney news, I was present yesterday at the opening of Town Center.
Very exciting.
Super exciting, and it was awesome, dude. And we're gonna get into that. Like Disney Springs, this is like the week out of Pete's nightmares, because we're talking like just we're really just kind of talking Disney Springs this week and like downtown Disney, making the comparison. But I gotta say, it's a game changing addition.
Okay, that sounds
cool. To Disney Springs. I really felt like... we'll get into it later. I don't want to get too much into it now. But ready to jump into the news this week?
Always.
The news, as always, brought to you by Dave Weichert of Magical Travel, who will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you, and compiled off of Passholder.club, which is mine and Jamie's... a Disney Orlando area theme park news site, which is updating news on a daily basis for you guys. They do Facebook Live now. I do that instead of Periscope. And I usually go online through the pass holder page. And so I did like a full tour of Disney Springs in the marketplace. Town Center. And if you go on to facebook.com/passholderclub or in our group, which is you go to joinpassholder.club, you can watch both the videos that I took there and a whole slew of pictures that have been posted. So All right, so ready for some worldwide news?
Yes.
Okay, so the biggest bit of worldwide news that's come out in the last week is that Disney dollars are going to be discontinued. Actually, they have already been discontinued as of 2 days ago, May the 14th.
How do you feel about that?
You know, I never got... I remember my family got Disney dollars on our 2003 trip. Like, I remember they were given them... I think they were, like, given them for something.
Okay.
But, yeah, the... I mean, it doesn't really affect me.
I gotta tell you, I have a really soft spot for Disney dollars.
I figured you would really enjoy the Disney dollars.
I do. For a long time, I would buy a 1, a 5, and a 10, like, on every trip I would go.
Right.
Just to save.
It's an excellent way to spend $16.
Yeah, and they're a cool little collectible. I like currency is like a collectible I always wish I got into, but it's so vast I can't go down that road.
Do you still have a bunch of Disney dollars? Because they're about to become more valuable.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would never spend them, sell them. But then they got out of control. Like, they started making like $100 Disney dollars. I think because they knew people like me were buying them just to
have them.
So I kind of gave up on that.
Did the $100 Disney dollar have Scrooge McDuck on it?
Remember.
See,
and I didn't, you know, I also didn't love the modern designs they were doing, so I wasn't.
I feel like having, if you're going to do a $100 bill, it's got to have Scrooge McDuck on it.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
However, you know, while they're discontinuing the selling of Disney dollars, they will always still be accepting Disney dollars as currency in the parks, Walt Disney World, Disneyland Resort, and the Disney Store.
Yeah, they got to do that.
Yeah, I mean, they can't like all of a sudden be like, doesn't count anymore. Because what about the people that have been saving their Disney dollars all those years?
Right.
With the dream of paying for a Disney trip solely with Disney dollars.
I am. You could do it.
Could you imagine like walking into Dave Weikert's living room and dropping like a sack full of Disney dollars down on the ground being like, pay for it, Weikert?
I don't think he accepts Disney dollars.
Probably not. And then he would tell you and you'd be like really upset by it.
Yeah, your dream would be squashed.
Do you know how long it took me? How many trips I had to go? Buying $16 at a time to save up enough to pay for my own trip with Disney dollars. I'm 97 years old, Dave Weikert. Don't you tell me you can't do it. Dave Weikert breaking dreams. I love this hypothetical situation where Dave is just like tossing Disney dollars into the street.
Yeah, just. Although it would be cool. I can imagine somebody like making it rain Disney dollars like on Dave. And he's like, this is going to be an expensive trip. That'd be great.
But then he realizes it's all Disney dollars.
Yeah, and he can't accept it.
Counterfeit Disney dollars? You think there's like a good counterfeit Disney dollar business going around out there?
Now's the time to start that up.
What about Disney coins? And then you can fill up a money bin with them and jump in like Uncle Scrooge. But it's, you know, it's a solid and not a liquid. As Family Guy pointed out, there are many. It's not a liquid. There are many solids that form a hard ground-like surface.
Yeah.
Or get like a whole like mountain of Disney dollars and like slide down them like the Joker in the Dark Knight.
Or set them on fire.
And then set them on fire. Okay. So anything else about Disney dollars?
No.
Do you have like a number one Disney dollar that you like frame and like hang on the wall?
No, I mean, eventually I thought I would do something with them, but who knows when that day will come.
It's a good thing that they don't make Disney coins, because then if you had a number one Disney dime, Magicka Dispel might come and try to steal it from you.
Yeah, but that'd be really cool. They should do something like that.
I don't want Magicka Dispel coming after me.
Why? You couldn't handle her?
Probably not. I mean, like, she's got magic.
I get that.
It's going to be that kind of show. Can you tell it's a slow news week this week, Pete? We just did a show, like, a couple days ago, so there's really not much news. We spent the first 15 minutes of the show on hypothetical Disney dollar situations.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Oh my goodness. Show up the Dave Weikert's house with literally like a sack with the dollar sign on it.
I would like one of those.
All right, so Disney Springs news. Town Center has been opened. We're going to save the majority of this conversation for the e-ticket attraction, but I will tell you, it pretty much doubles the size of Disney Springs.
Wow, that's really saying something.
Pete, I could not believe how much space there was behind those walls. Like, things that I never knew were there, either. Like the water fixtures and the bridges. And, like, everything looks and smells new. There's so many fountains. And, like, it is a huge, huge area.
What were the smells like?
Believe it or not, a whole area of it smelled like meat.
Really?
From Deluxe Burger.
Hmm, okay.
Deluxe Burger smelled so good, it made the entire surrounding area just, it was meat. Like wisping tendrils of, like, meat scent were, like, going up my nose and, like, beckoning me like a cartoon pie.
Right.
At one point, I started floating, and it was, like, carrying me over, but then I saw the line to get into Deluxe Burger, and I was like, whoa, wispy tendrils of meat smell. I am not going anywhere near that line, because that line was out the door and around the building.
Was it really?
It really was. And, like, people are, I haven't gotten a chance to try it yet, Pete, but people are raving about this Deluxe Burger.
I do like a good burger.
I do, too, and I feel like Disney has very precious few good burgers. I am not a fan of Disney burgers.
I can't really say I am either. I find them edible when it's lunchtime and I'm hungry and I just kind of want to get something simple. But you're right. It wouldn't be like my burger of choice.
To be perfectly honest, Pete, I don't think I'll ever get a Disney quick service burger again.
Really?
It's just like I find that there is a whole universe of Disney quick service food that is so good right now that I feel like it's almost a waste to get like a plain like bacon cheeseburger.
You might be right about that.
Which unfortunately, like, it kind of limits the amount of times I go into Cosmic Rays now. Though, you know, sometimes I'll go in just to catch the show.
Why? But with 3 bays of eating action.
You know you can get the same food at each bay, right?
I don't think the menus are all the same.
Like the top menus are not the same, but I'm pretty sure you can get the same food at all 3 bays. That really? Was some. Yeah, Girlfriend X informed me that we were wrong about that.
Huh.
She was like, you know, you can get the same food at all 3. You guys are wrong. And I'm like, oh, do you want to do the show?
Huh? Well, how does that help us?
You think this looks easy, lady?
Who are trying to get something that's not listed up there.
It's kind of like Harambe Market. Like, Harambe Market is, like, an animal. You've never done Harambe Market, I assume, right?
Nope, but Harambe Market's, like, new.
Yeah, it's new. But, like, so Harambe Market, like, has all these different, like, eateries. There's, like, 4 of them. And you can get everything at all of them, except for the ribs, which are only at the far one.
That's what I'm saying. If the menus are going to be different, don't tell me Bay 1 has this and Bay 3 has that.
Right.
If I can just get it at all of them.
I mean, it wouldn't make sense to tell people, no, you can't get something at Bay 3 when Bay 2 is right there. Like, it's connected. We're all using one kitchen. Like,
right.
You know. So, yeah, I'm fairly certain, if Girlfriend X is to be believed, that, yeah, this is, you know, it's a thing.
I mean, I highly doubt they would be like, no, you'd have to go on another line.
Oh, sir, I'm sorry. The bacon cheeseburger, that 15-minute line you just waited in, you got to go wait in that 25-minute line.
But that's
now.
Not the point. The point is that you don't know that you can get that there. Because it's literally not even on the board.
And that's the thing. Like, what they do at Harambe Market is they hand you like a physical, like, what a lot of the quick service places do now, they will hand you a physical menu outside the establishment so that you can prepare yourself by the time you get up there, which I like.
Yeah, I like that too. They do that at like Electric Umbrella and a bunch of places.
They did it at a lot of the Disney at the Disney Springs places yesterday as well.
It's a good idea if you're going to be on a line.
Agreed. And it gives you something to do on the line because instead of being like, Mabel, what's that say up there? My spectacles ain't too sharp today. I don't know why my southern guy is like saying spectacles. That was more British. I'd be like, oh dear Hildegard, do you see up there? That food, I can't quite read it. My half-moon spectacles have fallen too far down the bridge of my nose, and now I have to push them up. However, my hands are entirely too full for that, so I'm going to have to rely on you, my dearest darling. I want a divorce. You like that little British farce, a little Monty Python action for you there?
Look at you. You're just a wealth of entertainment tonight.
I'm trying. It's a slow news week, Pete. so in resort news, we have an update on the Flying Fish Cafe refurbishment over at the Boardwalk. I know you've been clamoring for this news.
I've been waiting.
First of all, it is being renamed. They're dropping the and the cafe from the title.
Okay.
So instead of being the Flying Fish Cafe, the restaurant is now just referred to as Flying Fish. Not the Flying Fish. So, like, as fish can mean one singular or many fish, like, it can also be a plural. Right. You wouldn't say Flying Fish is. You would say Flying Fish. That school of flying fish as they careen towards my face, which would happen to me, as you know.
Definitely.
No, you would. So the flying fish, plural, it's being retooled to be a bit more of an upscale restaurant. They released some concept art for what it's supposed to look like. It's more like blue and gray. There's like a crystal like ceiling piece that comes down. But now the thing that I thought was cool and something that I'm probably going to be frequenting on the boardwalk once it's done, Seashore Suites, which was right next to Flying Fish, is also being redone. And it's being redone to become the Abracadabar.
Huh.
Not the Admiral Abracadabar. It's like magic. Like you know, I love peanut butter sandwiches. That was the Amazing Mumford.
But I can't get a chocolate-covered pretzel there anymore.
Probably not, no. But you probably could get alcohol, but you don't partake. So.
Yeah, well, I missed that pretzel.
So there's a story, as are most Disney things, there's a story behind it. It celebrates what they call the Golden Age of Magic. It's okay. like the Houdini era of like magicians, like where people were like, he can heal my legs. But like, you know, they were just doing sleight of hand.
Okay.
Remember that Disney movie with Oz the Great and Powerful?
Yeah, I like that movie.
I love that movie. But like, who doesn't feel that moment when he's doing like the stuff on stage in Kansas, and that girl in the wheelchair is like, "Heal me!" And he's just like, "Oh, no, you could stay there."
You know, I think the reason why I like that movie so much is I really feel like that's James Franco in real life.
Yeah,
he's such like a shystery kind of guy. Like, I feel like that is his like. Best role ever.
Yeah. I feel like that's sober James Franco.
Okay.
If you want to see the other James Franco, watch the year that he co-hosted the Oscars with Anne Hathaway. So more about Abracadabar. It was supposed to be, the storyline says it was an old hangout for magicians. And 70 years ago, the group of magicians that were, like, hanging out in there mysteriously vanished. But their magic remains. So there's going to be lots of magic stuff.
All right.
More on this, Peter Mandel, as it develops. More on this, Peter Mandel, as it appears. Pretend that I said the second one first.
All right.
Because I feel like that was an infinitely stronger line than the first one.
Do you want to go and re-edit that later on?
No, I want you to just pretend.
Okay, no perfectionist.
Then. Pete, I'm busy. I can't be editing this show. Come on. What we say is what goes on the air.
Is it?
No. No, definitely not. There's actually quite a bit of editing that goes into this. So the Epcot news. We have Epcot news this week. We have some new information on the International Food and Wine Festival for this year.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to my little cheat sheet here. Okay. So first of all, as we talked about before, this is going to be September 14th to November 14th. So it's a full 62-day festival.
All right. That's a big one.
Okay. The global marketplaces are once again going to extend into Future World. So, you know, like the Chew kiosks were really popular. So they're keeping it going into Future World, which I liked. It was good.
Yeah. Why not? There's plenty
of room. I didn't feel that it took away from it at all, the fact that, you know, it wasn't all in World Showcase. We're going to have some new marketplace menus as well as festival favorites. So there's going to be hard soda floats this year.
Okay.
Hard soda is like the new, like, trendy thing with alcohol. Like, not your father's root beer. Now there's like orange soda and ginger ale and cream soda. Like, all these different kind of, like you know, alcoholic sodas. Which, right. I can't believe it took us as a society this long to figure that out.
Yeah, weird, right?
Yeah. But you can mix it with vanilla ice cream at Desserts and Champagne Marketplace. There will also be a savory vegan dish at the Grease Marketplace this year. And the Farm Fresh Marketplace is going to showcase Florida's bounty with new savory dishes. That was the quote. There's going to be new Eat to the Beat concert acts debuting this year, as well as fan favorites returning. There's going to be... So Wang Chung, you know, everybody have fun tonight. That one.
Okay.
They're going to be there. They're actually going to be opening the series September 14th to 15th.
What's that other one they did?
It was that other song with the words and the melody and the music. Yeah. I believe instruments were played and, you know, there was some light swaying going on in the crowd.
That's the one.
Yeah. You know, that one. But really, like, the thing to... You know, everybody Wang Chung tonight is just kind of, you know.
Right.
I never knew that that band was called Wang Chung.
Really? What did you think they were called?
I honestly, Pete, I never gave two thoughts to who sings that song. I always wondered what Wang Chunging was. I just assumed it was something I wasn't cool enough to get. So more new acts this year include Delta Ray and Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Oh, I like Toad the Wet Sprocket.
What would I know that Toad the Wet Sprocket?
Oh, man. I don't know. I haven't listened to them in so long.
Because Toad the Wet Sprocket sounds like a Muppet.
No, they were popular, like a popular alternative band in like the 90s.
Oh, okay. Because I was just assuming like, ladies and gentlemen, next up for our act here on the Muppet Show, Toad the Wet Sprocket. Yay!
By the way, still bummed out about the Muppets.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing about that show. I loved it. I did not expect it to keep going.
Me neither. Man, I didn't think I was going to love it as much as I did.
People were not... I don't think most people were, like, ready for the concept of Muppets having relationships with humans.
Okay.
And that was kind of the basis of the show.
Well, why? I mean, that's how it is in the movies.
I know. Like, the whole charm of the Muppets is that, like, you have to sell them like they're real people. But they've never had, like Scooter dating Chelsea Handler. Like, I don't think people were ready for that.
I thought it was... Man, Uncle Deadly stole that show.
Uncle Deadly earned himself a spot in, like, Muppet lore with
Absolutely.
That show.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But it was always Witherspoon.
I love him.
That was my favorite episode, the Reese Witherspoon episode.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
All right, so other returning acts are going to include Wilson Phillips, Boys to Men, and Jeffrey Osborne. There will be a full concert lineup announced as we get closer to it. Celebrity chefs and wine experts and mixologists are joining in. Celebrities will range from Rock Harper to Master Sommelier Andrea Robinson, and they will share food and beverage knowledge for demos and premium events at the Mix It, Make It, Celebrate It workshops, and they'll give guests advice on what to do while mixing cocktails, decorating cakes, or using herbs to kick up a dish's flavor. The popular festival private label California Chardonnay and Cabernet Sauvignon are back this year and available by the bottle or by the glass. So that's big news. Chef Remy of Ratatouille is returning once again for the culinary scavenger hunt. That was actually fun. Some of the Remy's are like, boom, there's a rat, like right in the middle of the thing.
Right.
But a lot of them were hidden very well. We're not talking real rats here, folks, like that giant rat that I did happen to see in World Showcase. We're talking like Remy the Rat, like as a little statue. They hide him all over the place. It's a really fun thing for kids to do while the adults are eating and drinking to try to find all the different Remy's.
You think they would ever have like John Taffer there for the mixology end of it?
Who?
From Bar Rescue? You ever watch Bar Rescue?
I have never watched that.
It's like he's like a Gordon Ramsay type. Where he goes into bars and, like, fixes them.
Is he angry and British?
Yeah. No British. He's completely aggressive. And
I have never met anyone I believe in as little as you. That was my favorite Gordon Ramsay moment.
Yeah, that's great. And do you remember who he's talking to?
It was some dude, like some pizza dude, right?
Yeah, Sebastian.
Why? Is Sebastian somebody that we're supposed to know?
No, but if you like Gordon Ramsay, you know him. His concept was he had like a pizzeria, but the pizzeria had like 500 different combinations.
Yes, and Gordon Ramsay changed the menu and he tried to change it back.
Yeah. If you go on IMDb, that guy's actually been in a bunch of movies.
Has he really?
He's also an actor.
Because of Gordon Ramsay?
No, I think he was in movies before that.
Interesting.
He's right there, like in the Hollywood area.
Okay. I think they had mentioned that he was an actor in the episode, actually. Like, yeah. he was too busy, like, going on auditions to, like, run the restaurant or something like that.
Right.
I love Gordon Ramsay. I had to stop watching the restaurant show.
Well, yeah, it doesn't exist anymore.
I had to stop watching, like, I was binge watching it because it was on Kitchen Nightmares. It was on Netflix, and I was binge watching it. I had to stop because it was making me never want to eat at any restaurant ever again, ever. I just picture all of them as the restaurant that he walks into in the beginning when he orders gray crab cakes and then, like, almost chokes on them.
So what is your favorite of the Ramsay shows?
It's Kitchen Nightmare, but...
Oh, yeah?
Oh, I love Kitchen Nightmares.
Okay.
Because more so than the ones that he manages to turn around and the people leave, and they're like, bless you, Gordon Ramsay, as he flies off on his magic umbrella. All right, that's Mary Poppins. but I more so like the ones that when he leaves, they're like, the guy's a jerk. I know better than him.
That doesn't happen very often.
But it did happen occasionally, and it was magical every time it happened.
There's really only one place he couldn't help. It was in, I believe, the final season.
Really?
Oh, it was insane.
Why couldn't he help it?
The people were just so ludicrous. He could not.
Interesting. So the Festival Center will be back. Its highlights there are going to include a complimentary Back to Basics weekend series, which is going to feature Epicurean tips and tricks from pros, book and bottle signings, and the chocolate experience from Bean to Bar, hosted by Ghirardelli, which offers guests free samples of chocolate.
Okay. Look, this time, Kevin, they'll be free. So when you go over there.
Yeah.
And you're like, huh? And then you find out they're charging for the hot cocoa. This time it'll be free chocolates.
Right. There's always free Ghirardelli chocolates. It's just the hot chocolate wasn't free.
Oh, bummer.
One of my favorite things to do at Disney Springs is actually to go into Ghirardelli multiple times and get free samples of chocolate.
Do you say thank you like in different voices each time?
Yeah, and you have to wear a disguise.
You don't wear a disguise.
Pete, why do you think I carry a backpack?
Because that's where you put all the chocolate.
I've got like 5 different Kevin versions in there. Hey, Mac, it's me, construction worker Kevin. Can I get a free thing of chocolate?
You got your hard hat.
Yep. It's a hard hat and overalls.
Right.
Actually, no, I wear the exact same outfit. I just changed the hat. There's a cowboy hat. Well, hello there, pilgrim. Can I be sampling some of that there chocolate you got?
You put on a beret.
My name is Morgan Freeman, and I am here to sample some chocolate. I drove into the orange garage. I parked my car underneath one of those green lights, and I walked here with the intention of buying some chocolate. And even though I'm a white dude, they buy it.
Huh. Interesting.
Yep. So the Chase Lounge is back. I love the Chase Lounge. For Chase debit and credit card members, including Disney Visa card members, you can find complimentary non-alcoholic beverages, a charging station for your phone, and a comfortable seating area. It is on the second floor of the American Adventure. It's great. The only downside to the Chase Lounge is that you have to wait for the elevator to open up.
Okay. What does that mean?
The Chase Lounge can only take a certain number of people. So there is a line outside of the American Adventure where so 5 people will come out and then 5 people will be let in.
Okay.
So, you know, it could probably take like 30 to 40 or 50 people in there, I think.
Does the elevator ever open? There's no one in and everyone's just bummed out because no one's leaving yet?
Oh.
Does that happen?
No, not that I saw. What do you think, some rascally cast member is like, I'm going to break some dreams right now. It's like I'm Dave Weikert with Disney dollars. I'm going to send that elevator down there.
Right.
It's going to open up. People are going to be all excited thinking they're going in. But guess what, Abigail May? You're not going up now.
That first person online is like, this is it.
Abigail May. Yeah. My God, Daddy. We came here this week and I was so looking forward to going up to this Chase Lounge. Here comes that elevator. It just dinged. We're going to go in there right now. I'm going to get me a Coke. I'm going to get me a Coca-Cola from the Coca-Cola machine, and I'm going to enjoy it in the comfort of that there air conditioning up there. Oh. That cast member up there is like, score one for Leroy.
That's so funny.
Okay, so there's also premium adventures, like adventures that like cost a little bit more. The Rockin' Burger Block Party and the Party for the Senses, which are grand tasting events that showcase creative bites and palate-pleasing sips from eminent chefs and beverage experts, plus new live entertainment. Also, there will be resort premium events, which will include a Grand Floridian brunch with a twist and a new cooking school experience.
Okay.
That's interesting. Stuff going on at the resorts for food and wine. That's a game changer.
Yeah, it's becoming big.
So included with your Epcot admission, the Back to Basics series, special book signings, the Eat to the Beat concerts, cultural adventures, marketplace passports, and all attractions and park entertainment are included with regular admission. So the marketplace passport is basically like you can get your passport stamped at each of the kiosks.
Right. I remember that.
Yeah. Okay, so next up on our list, we've got some Disney's Hollywood Studios news this week. And that is sponsored by thecookinwookie.com for all your recipe needs, thecookinwookie.com. Speaking of food, Peter Mandel, three new food and drink kiosks are coming to the Echo Lake area in Disney's Hollywood Studios. So that's over by Dinosaur Gertie, where 50s Primetime is, like right off to, as you come down that first street, it's off to the left-hand side, over by Indiana Jones.
Right.
So this is going to be called Echo Lake Eats. It's going to be a whole little area. And I got to say, I want to eat everything at all of these things.
Oh, good. Tell me about it.
Well, I mean, the full menus aren't, they just kind of said what kind of food there's going to be.
Well, you make up a pretend menu. We need news today.
Okay. So Sliders to the Stars is going to be barbecue and brisket sliders.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, I'm all about the sliders. I enjoy that. I like a good slider with like a nice pickle on it. A nice slice of pickle.
I like pickles.
Yeah. Hollywood Waffles of Fame.
Which, all right.
While it is a labored pun, I enjoy where they're going with it because it's going to one of my favorite things in the world, Peter Mandel, and that is waffles. It's going to be a series of sandwiches, including a waffle sandwich.
Okay.
Also, Bocados del Yago Nachos y Empanadas, which is going to be nachos and empanadas.
Man, I like me an empanada.
Oh, dude, empanadas are so important to my life.
Where I feel like you really need good ones. So after you've had a really great empanada,
yes.
I mean, you find out that 4 out of 5 empanadas aren't good.
Right. Like I used to live down the street from like a little like Portuguese deli, and when they opened up, like it said empanadas on the window, and I was so excited because I'm like, first I sneezed, and then I said, "Oh my goodness, empanadas every morning! Like this is breakfast every day." And they were just not very good empanadas.
Oh, bummer.
We got some SeaWorld news this week.
What's that?
Okay, so well, we all know the shark-themed Mako roller coaster that is coming to SeaWorld soon.
Right.
They've released information on their previews for pass holders.
Okay.
For SeaWorld annual pass holders, which I am one. So there are three ways you as a pass holder can be one of the first to ride. There is a limited preview event. You register to join the Mako preview and be among the first to ride. The first 500 to register inside the exclusive pass holder lounge at SeaWorld on May 21st or 22nd at 10 a.m. will get a special preview. That preview will then be Wednesday, June 8th. Check-in is required from 4 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. and the event takes place 7:30 to 10 p.m.
Okay.
People going to be riding the Mako. There is a one-time quick queue the pass holders can do. You head to the front of the line with this free one-time ride. Quantities are limited to 500 per day. You log in to register for that at seaworldorlando.com/pass, and that is from June 11th to the 30th. So basically, they're giving you a free express pass to get to the front of the line.
That's pretty cool.
You also, pass holders will also be granted early entry for the Mako, and that SeaWorld will open the Mako at 8 a.m. on select Tuesdays and Saturdays, and you just show your annual pass at the park at entrance and you get right in. That is select dates from June the 18th to August the 13th. I gotta say, SeaWorld takes care of its pass members, and that's because they need them.
Yeah.
But the Mako is Orlando's tallest, fastest, and longest roller coaster. It is 200. It has a 200-foot drop. It is over 70 miles per hour and 4,760 feet long, Peter Mandel.
That is something.
And it is themed to sharks. So it's even more terrifying.
When are you going to go on that?
I'm going to try to get into this limited preview event. I think I'm going to go on the 21st or 22nd and try to get into that. I mean, I love me a trip to the pass holder lounge, so.
I get that.
Oh, so speaking of pass holders and speaking of other parks that aren't Disney, we've got some Universal news this week.
What is it?
Universal annual pass holders have finally had their voices heard, and they are getting something that they've wanted for a very long time, and that is plastic cards for their annual pass.
Oh, they've always given out paper cards?
Paper cards, Peter Mandel. And if you rip or if you tear it or lose it, or crumple it up and it can't be read anymore because of water damage because you went on Popeye too much, you have to buy it. You have to, like, they charge you for a new one.
That's not cool.
Yeah, so what I did when I bought mine was I spent another $10 on a lanyard with a card holder so that I wouldn't have to worry about it. But now they're going to have a nifty little card that I can, swipe at the entrance gate. At first I was like, oh, well, I'll have to get it when I renew my annual pass in August. Not true, Peter Mandel. They are letting pass holders come down and actually swap out their old pass for the new one.
That's a good idea.
It's a great idea. It's no secret that they are testing with Magic Band technology, but it always seemed a little bit weird that they are considering themselves a rival to Disney when Disney gives their annual pass holders and all their resort guests multi-million dollar wristbands. You know, like wristbands $1 billion have been sunk into the creation of, and Universal gives them a piece of paper.
Just doesn't cut it.
Nope. Also, they have released a video showcasing our first look at King Kong from the upcoming Kong Skull Island attraction. So King Kong is going to be featured both on screen, digitally, and as one of the largest audio animatronics out there to date.
But not the largest.
He might be the largest. I mean, he's pretty, like, they show him in the video, and he is fairly massive.
Okay.
I think he's 18 feet wide from shoulder to shoulder or something like that. And like his face is right up like near where the car is. And they said, you feel his breath, which I assume smells like bananas.
Right. That makes sense.
I like to think that. If not, I will be sure to bring some fresh maker, some Mentos, and just chuck them at the auto animatronic. Also, they said his roar will be felt throughout your entire body.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah, I'm so psyched for this attraction. They're doing a press event sometime in June, and I was trying to get us in for pass holder, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I miss Confrontation, too.
I mean, as a kid, I think I kind of thought Confrontation was lame, and I do, but now I miss it.
Yeah.
That was a pretty awesome, pretty big animatronic, though.
Yeah, it sure was.
So, all right, so that's the news this week.
All right. You made that work.
Look at us. We stretched like four news stories into full. Yep. All right, so folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to hear from our wonderful sponsors and the rest of the White Dragon Podcast Network. And then we'll be right back with our e-ticket attraction of the week. So stay tuned. More Two Men in the Mouse coming at you right after this. You know, Pete, it's hard work planning a Disney vacation.
Of course.
Your whole family has to get going. You got to pack everything up. You got to figure out where you're eating. You got to figure out where you're staying. But you know what makes life so much easier, makes your trip planning a more fun experience?
Tell me. That sounds like something I need.
Absolutely. You need a travel agent.
Do we know one of those?
We absolutely do. We know our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse, folks.
We've both used him.
Yes, we have. Dave Weikert plans our Disney vacations all the time, and we would not recommend him if we didn't use his services ourselves. Dave started his Cranford-based business here in 2008, and in that time has been planning hundreds of Walt Disney World vacations. Dave plans every trip as if it were his own, and you will never find someone more passionate about Disney. Very easy to work with, and will do his best to make sure you're satisfied. Working with Dave, you're likely to pay less and get more. And what's better than that, Peter Mandel?
Tell me.
You never pay a charge for Dave's services. It is 100% free. Dave will plan your entire trip for no additional cost to you.
That sounds awesome.
Absolutely. Dave has helped over 875 families enjoy their Disney vacations. A graduate of the College of Disney Knowledge, Dave has visited every Disney World resort and has personally stayed at 12 Disney World resorts. He's dined also at every Disney restaurant. He's crazy about Disney food.
That is an accomplishment.
Absolutely. I wish I could say I did
that.
That's
like the snack challenge times 10.
Yep. Dave also gives you Disney dollars for land packages and shipboard credits for any Disney Cruise Line vacations you might be going. This can be used as cash at any Disney destination or store. Traveling with kids in your party, Dave will also provide you autograph books for all your kids.
He gave them to us?
Absolutely. Your kids went down with Dave Weikert autograph books.
Of course.
Well, Disney autograph books supplied by Dave Weikert.
Depends how his name on it.
Dave simplifies your life by booking your complete vacation, including resort stay, airlines, Disney meal plans, and park passes. Also, checks daily for new discounts. When specials are announced, he immediately checks availability and rebooks your vacation at the lowest possible price. Dave can also book all your Disney dining and will do his best to get hard-to-book reservations like Cinderella's Royal Table and Be Our Guest. It's really, truly a no-brainer. Folks, take the stress out of your life. Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse. How do you go from dreaming of a theme park to building one? Walt Disney laid the blueprint. Learn how he did it and how his wisdom can guide you toward achieving things that you dream of in The Wisdom of Walt, and put Walt to work for you. The experts told Walt Disney that it would never work. A giant theme park where parents and children could play together? Crazy. So Walt put all of his money into this crazy dream of his. He put his reputation on the line, and anyone else would have quit, discouraged and disillusioned. But Walt Disney built Disneyland. So how did he go from dreaming to doing? And how can you do the same, no matter what your goal? In The Wisdom of Walt, Professor Jeffrey Barnes distills Walt Disney's vision, his knowledge, and his methods into a series of actionable lessons. Through historical vignettes about Disneyland, as well as plentiful examples and exercises, Barnes creates a framework through which you can apply Walt's wisdom to improve your career, your company, and your life. In The Wisdom of Walt, you'll learn to listen to your Walter ego and start trusting yourself, go beyond the berm with the secrets of Disneyland success, make a Main Street impression on everyone you meet, and create e-ticket experiences that keep coming back for more. The Wisdom of Walt is available in four different modes: hardcover, paperback, ebook, and audiobook, and it has been the number one bestseller on Amazon in five different categories, including theme parks and personal success in business. To pick up your copy of The Wisdom of Walt today, go to Amazon.com or check out thewisdomofwalt.com. With The Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away. Do you want to embrace the inner gourmet in your life? Do you tire of a life of hot dogs, ramen noodles, and Pop-Tarts? Do you long to wow your loved ones with homemade delicious meals and chuck that kid cuisine in the trash? Well, good thing we've got thecookinwookie.com. The Cookin' Wookie is a food and recipe blog designed to walk you through recipes that will dazzle your dinner table. Tim Elbing is our Wookie host, and he will take you on a culinary journey that will make you and all of your dinner guests thankful at your next Life Day feast. So let the Wookie win your loyalty, folks, and head over to thecookinwookie.com. That's thecookinwookie.com. Fire up your oven, and may the forks be with you.
Hi there, this is Monica Pinto from the Mouse in Our House podcast, inviting you to join me here every other Friday for all things Disney from my perspective. Let's face it, with our fast-paced lives in a crazy world, always running from one place to another, from hectic work days to family responsibilities, from household chores to those never-ending errands, it sometimes seems impossible to survive until your next Disney trip. How to turn that around? Easy, by keeping a little bit of that Disney magic in our everyday lives. So go ahead, sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee and a little something sweet, and let's chat Disney. Join me here on the White Dragon Podcast Network every other Friday, where we'll celebrate all the magic, all the fun, all the memories, and even some stuff that's not so magical. But don't worry, a little bit of pixie dust should take care of that. So until then, I hope you remember to keep the mouse in your house.
Do you like the Disney parks? I do too. So does my little sister. That's why we started a podcast about them. Hi, I'm Dimitri Rivanis. The name of our show is The Extra Magic Hour. You can hear new episodes each and every Thursday here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. You can also find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Now, in addition to telling you what we love about the parks and doling out some news and tips, we'll do something a little different. We'll tell you what we hate about the parks, where the mouse can improve, and we'll do some fighting. Well, not fighting. We call it friendly debate. Things that Disney fans have been debating and arguing about forever and ever. You'll hear them played out in real time between a brother and a sister every Thursday right here on the White Dragon Podcast Network.
Hey folks, Kev here with some news about how you, the listener, can help out your favorite podcast network. And by that I mean the White Dragon Podcast Network. I hope I didn't need explaining. Are you an online shopper? Chances are the answer to that is yes. Well, if you're going to be doing any shopping on Amazon.com and would like a cost-free way to support your favorite free podcasts, then head over to WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com and click on the Amazon banner at the top of the page. It takes you to the same Amazon page you've always gone to. You don't pay a penny extra, and the White Dragon Podcast Network gets a small percentage of what you buy. If you're looking to support the network in a more direct manner, you can go to WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com/sponsor and make a small monetary donation to the upkeep of the server, website, and network in general. No amount is too small, and all donations will be recognized on Two Men and the Mouse, Mouselanius, and Bat Squad Radio. Thank you so much. It's through the support of dedicated listeners like you that these shows remain on the air and free for everyone. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for your continued attention and for your support of the White Dragon Podcast Network. Folks, Disney theme parks are wonderful. There are four of them, and they're great. The resort's also wonderful. But one of the hidden gems of Walt Disney World, I think to a lot of people, is the land now known as Disney Springs, formerly Downtown Disney, and before that, it was known as the Disney Village. I feel like too few people that I speak to ever go to Downtown Disney or now Disney Springs as part of their vacation. I know, Pete, you haven't gone in a very long time.
Yeah, it's been a little while. Well, yeah. I mean, it's not true. We went the trip before last, but last trip we did not go.
It is one of the most ever-changing areas of Walt Disney World. I think it's gone through more like metamorphoses than most. And that being with the, you know, its name has changed now three times. Yeah, it's been renamed three times. And it has had just massive expansions and just shifting of theme and story over and over again. So that begs the question, what is better, Peter Mandel, Downtown Disney or Disney Springs?
Interesting.
Yeah, right? So I guess we kind of need to. So what we're going to do, we're going to talk a little bit about Downtown Disney, then we're going to talk about Disney Springs, and then we will form an opinion as to which we think is better. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Savvy? Okay.
I'm ready.
So Downtown Disney, I mean, for me as like an 18-year-old, Downtown Disney was like glitz and glamour. I was kind of enthralled by it the first time I saw it.
Okay.
We went to Disney Quest and then just kind of walked around. But at that point in time, Pleasure Island was still very much a thing. And I think Pleasure Island is kind of really where the focus needs to be when talking about Downtown Disney.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. I mean, that was big.
It was kind of the draw of the entire experience, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. I can remember going with Heather when we were like very young. And like at first, I remember there was like such a cover charge to get into Pleasure Island. And there was always such a crazy line. Mm-hmm. And then eventually you just saw that kind of dwindle. And
so, you know what? Let's talk about Pleasure Island a little bit. Pleasure Island opened in order to try to emulate Church Street Station in downtown Orlando.
Right.
And it was like Pete said, it was a gated attraction and you paid your admission. And your admission price it was basically your cover charge for all of the clubs.
Yep.
So these were nightclubs and comedy clubs and just basically places where you can go, get a drink, and experience some live entertainment. I think the main event of that was the Adventurers Club.
Yeah, I mean, that was the big one.
Did you ever go?
Never.
See, I feel like we missed out something fierce.
I do, and I don't.
Really? Because people talk about the Adventurers Club like it was like the be-all, end-all.
No, I know, and I do think it sounds very cool. Not sure I care either way, though.
You know, did you ever see the Pleasure Island fireworks show?
I don't think so.
So every night at midnight, Pleasure Island did New Year's Eve.
Okay.
So this was celebrated with a fireworks show. The tradition lasted from 1990 through to New Year's Eve 2005.
Well, I do remember that. I do. We did see that.
Yeah. So there was then a fourth fireworks show in Walt Disney World.
Right.
So the legend, the storyline, because everything needs a story. The Disney company said that Pleasure Island was based on a fictitious owner called Meriwether Adam Pleasure. That was his name.
Okay.
Merry Pleasure. That's what we'll call him.
Man, good name.
This, and it was carried on. One of his clubs was the Adventurers Club, which kind of like really, like we said, was the meat and potatoes of it. So in 2008, June 27, 2008, Disney announced that over the next 2 years, Pleasure Island's nightclubs would be replaced with new experiences, that being retail stores and restaurants. So the area of Pleasure Island is pretty much the area that is now like where the hangar is and Morimoto Asia and the boathouse. The landing is pretty much what they call it now.
Right.
Basically, there were rumors that attendance had dropped drastically at Pleasure Island, which I believe, but Disney claimed that the shift was because of guest complaints that it wasn't family friendly.
I could see that happening also.
But you know what? I feel like that actually like angers me a little bit because I'm just kind of like, well, because I feel like adults need a place in Disney. You know, and Pleasure Island was kind of like that adult theme park.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, but. You know, at the same time, you have tons of stores selling toys and...
Yeah, but like that was all so well hidden on the other side of Disney Springs or Downtown Disney.
Yeah, it's a fine line with Disney. I mean, The Sign for Pleasure Island had Jessica Rabbit on it. You know what I mean? Look at that two ways. Yeah. You know?
Which I think that's awesome because I love Roger Rabbit and anything.
Me too.
You know, Jessica Rabbit's one of my favorite characters. But yeah, I feel like, you know, you have four theme parks for the kids. Four. Four theme parks, two water parks, and a million resorts with a million family-friendly activities to do. You couldn't just give adults this one area.
Yeah, but you know, most families don't go to Disney World with someone to watch their kids.
But that's the thing. I feel like Pleasure Island and Downtown Disney, and even to an extent now Disney Springs, is not made for the vacationer, Peter Mandel. It's made for locals.
And that is the problem entirely, because they want to draw a nighttime crowd from their paying customers.
I suppose. But, you know, it's not like you go to Disney Springs and don't spend money.
No, I know.
Even the locals that go will spend money.
You know, you can make it family friendly, or you can make it maybe not so family friendly.
Right.
I'll tell you which one's going to bring in more money.
Right. So, the entertainment venues, including all the nightclubs and the comedy clubs, ceased their operations on September 27th, 2008. On November 18th, 2010, Disney announced that it would be renaming and retheming the area as Hyperion Wharf.
No, remember that?
Yeah. It was like very brief. It was expected to be completed by spring 2013. In 2014, Disney closed access to the Pleasure Island portion of Downtown Disney, and additional retailers and themed restaurants were being brought in. Disney decided against using the name Hyperion Wharf, and instead, in April 2015, they reopened Pleasure Island as the landing. So the former dance clubs, the jazz club, the Adventurers Club, all no longer part of the concept.
Okay.
The area is now entirely retail and restaurants. So how did it work? Basically, you paid your admission, which I think at the time was like $18 or something like that, if I remember correct, right?
I don't know. I never did that.
I want to say it was like $18 and it got you in. I could be completely wrong.
Okay.
So you paid, you got in, and in 2007, the dance clubs reverted to a policy which required guests to be 21 years or older. I guess they were having some issues with minors being served.
Okay.
Minors could still visit the Comedy Warehouse and the Adventurers Club, as well as the shops and restaurants on the island, but could not enter the the dance clubs.
All right, makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. I mean, the other thing is Pleasure Island, I think, pretty much was starting to become a land of debauchery.
Right.
And Disney really doesn't want that.
No.
Which, unfortunately, Peter Mandel, that's what Epcot is kind of starting to turn into.
You know what you mean, like at nighttime?
Yeah, like even in the, like during Food and Wine, you know, Epcot becomes a place where bad things happen sometimes. Like, not bad things, like someone's going to mug you. Like, I'm just talking like very drunk people being very loud and very,
I told you I've had a couple experiences, but not the, you know, least of which was seeing security outside of Rosencrown. And I swear I thought it was theming.
Really?
And I remember I asked one of the girls who worked there, and she's like, no, we've had some issues.
Were they dressed like the British Royal Guards who are not allowed to smile?
No. No, they were not.
That, could you imagine if, like, okay, well, we need to bring in some, like, security guards because people are starting to start soccer hooligan fights in the Rosencrown, but let's dress them up like Royal British Guards.
I just thought it was crazy. I mean, Disney's the place where you almost never see security.
Yeah.
And now here's security out there clearly trying to make a point.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about what they had at Pleasure Island. Ready?
Yep.
All right, restaurants. Fulton's Crab House. We all know your opinion.
Yeah.
Originally, in 1977, it was known as the Empress Lily, which was a nod to Walt Disney's life. My goodness. Walt Disney's wife, Lillian. Now it's becoming Paddlefish. Paradiso 37, which is still there today. Portobello Restaurant, which is still there today. Raglan Road, which is obviously still there, and T-Rex, opened in 2008 as a Pleasure Island venue, even though Pleasure Island was kind of on its way out. Shopping. You had Curl by Sammy Duvall, which was a surf-themed retailer. Fuego by Sosa Cigars, which is a cigar bar, which opened in 2007. That's still there. Orlando Harley Davidson, which is still there. It's a gear shop. It's like Big Orange. And the Walrus Pit, which I'm not entirely sure what the Walrus Pit was.
I gotta be honest, I have no idea.
Yeah. Former attractions, Superstar Studios, which was a make-your-own video studio. Okay. That was replaced by Curl in 2008.
Okay.
And they had something called the Jessica Rabbit Store, a store featuring nothing but Jessica Rabbit from the movie Who Framed Roger Rabbit. A neon leg-swinging Jessica sign used to hang over the building until the store closed in 1992. In 1993, it was relocated to the West End Stage, where it resided until 2006.
Well, there's where the Jessica Rabbit came from.
Yeah. The Jessica Rabbit store. I mean, that's you could start a whole fashion line based on Jessica Rabbit, I feel like.
I think you could. I don't think anyone would buy it.
Yeah, I think that's like too far removed.
See, she's niche popular. She's not very popular.
Okay. There was also a restaurant back then called the Fireworks Factory. It was a pyrotechnics-themed restaurant operated by Levy Restaurants. According to the fictional backstory of the island, good old Mary Pleasure manufactured fireworks in the building until one of his cigars caused an explosion. The restaurant was decorated with authentic pyrotechnic props. It operated from 1989 to 97 and was replaced by the Motion Dance Club. There was also Meriwether's Market, which was a food court. That was replaced by Raglan Road. And the Planet Hollywood. Obviously, there's still a Planet Hollywood there, but it was a Pleasure Island attraction when it opened in 1994. And in 1998, they actually moved it over to the west side.
Interesting.
All right, so the clubs. You had 8 Tracks, which was a 70s and 80s themed dance club. The Adventurers Club, obviously, a 1930s-style British Explorers Club that featured a staff of flamboyant characters portrayed by improv actors. The club closed on September 27th, 2008. You had the BET Soundstage, which was a hip-hop R&B club, which was obviously run by the network BET. Celebrate Tonight, an outdoor dance party featuring DJs and cast members known as the Party Team. The Comedy Warehouse, which was a nightly improv comedy club. Which I wish that was still there, because that seems like it would have been fun to go to.
Yeah, that could be cool.
I remember even like when I was 18, like my dad asked if I wanted to go to that or something like that, and I didn't want to at the time.
Now we have Monsters Inc. Scare Floors. So.
Oh, could you imagine if they opened like a Monsters Inc. comedy club though?
We have one.
It's true. It is all live. Who's your favorite performer in the Monsters Inc. Laugh Floor?
I've never done it.
What?
True story. Never done it.
Why?
Kids have no interest.
They don't like Monsters, Inc.?
They do, to an extent.
Pete, you gotta go to Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor.
I will say, in Disneyland, we've done the Monsters, Inc. ride many times.
Well, yeah, but that's awesome.
Right.
Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor is wonderful, and it's funny. Like, it actually is very funny.
I know, I believe that it's funny. I just, they have very little interest. To them, it's like Turtle Talk with Crush. They don't really feel like just sitting there.
Okay. There's also the Mannequin Dance Palace, which was a techno-trance dance club that was a multi-story club. And it featured a revolving lighted dance floor.
Okay.
Motion, which was a top 40 dance club. All like music. It also featured music videos up on big screens. The Wild Horse Saloon, which was a country music dance club, which sounds like my kind of place. Not really. The Pleasure Island Jazz Company, which was a jazz club. The Rock and Roll Beach Club, which was a rock and roll dance club. The West End Stage, which was a stage used for events every night. The stage had a roof until 2009, and then most of the stage was taken down to the Disney Boneyard with small parts of it intact. And then there was AMC Pleasure Island 24, which is now just the regular AMC theater.
I mean, there was a lot.
Yeah. Did you ever see the episode of The Simpsons when they go to Itchy and Scratchy Land?
No.
It's nothing but like a big like shoot on Disney. Not as much as The Simpsons ride is a big shoot on Disney, but Homer and Marge went to a place that was kind of like, they went to Parents Island, which was supposed to be Pleasure Island.
Did you ever see the one where they go to Epcot?
No, but I've heard the legend of this.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the episode of American Dad where they go to Disney World?
No, I've never seen that show.
Ugh. Like, basically, like, the park gets shut down, and, like, Roger the alien, like, takes over Tomorrowland, and, like, Stan and all the real men take over Frontierland. It's really, really cool.
Okay, this wouldn't be in there, but one day we should do a top 10 of, like, TV Disney World things. Like, remember how Full House went there?
Yes. Oh, I loved those so
much. And Roseanne.
I feel like Corinne wanted to do this on Mouselanious, but I think we'll steal it for Two Men.
I don't see why not.
Yeah. It's park-related, Corinne. Nobody cares. I could hear her, like, scoffing already.
How is Corinne doing? I've never seen her ever again.
Oh, nobody cares. Come on.
That's not
Come
nice.
On. Do you really want to bring the show down to a crawl by talking about Corinne Chandler?
I was just curious how she was.
She's fine. Let's move on. Corinne Chandler. Now, I do want to have her on again soon to actually play the trivia game.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Okay, so ready to talk about Disney Springs.
Yes, this is what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, so, I mean, Pete, this entire area, this town center, was completely sparklingly new. It was truly wonderful.
It smelled like meat.
And it smelled like meat. They've added this entire, basically, like, this lake, which is basically the spring of Disney Springs. And they've colored the water so that it looks like the most beautiful blue water you've ever seen.
Okay.
There are bridges. Like I said, there are water fixtures. Like, there is one thing where, like, kids can actually, like, turn this giant wheel and it makes, like, water come out of the fountain and stuff like that. Little things like that. But basically, not to bury the lead, Peter Mandel, it is a giant outdoor mall.
Okay, but I like that.
I like it, too. However, on your but as a local, I enjoy it. On my vacation, I don't know if I would be going to Disney World to shop at Sephora.
I agree.
I like to save my Sephora shopping for when I'm home.
I have very little need to go there. I hate to say that.
Yeah. And so let's take a look at the shops that opened up. Alex and Annie, which is like a big theme store. American Threads. Edward Boehner, which is sunglasses. Everything But Water, which is like bathing suits and beach apparel. Francesca's. Kate Spade, New York. Kipling, Loctane in Provence, which is a French store. Lucky Brand, MAC Cosmetics, Melissa Shoes, Nahoku, Pandora, Sephora. That could be like some kind of like cool like.
Is Pandora is a Animal Kingdom tie-in?
No, it's bracelets.
Oh, bar.
Expensive jewelry. Sperry, Tommy Bahama, UGG. Under Armour Brand House. The Under Armour store is huge.
Do they carry all the superhero shirts?
I didn't go in. I'll go in next time and look for you. I didn't know that Under Armour made superhero shirts.
Oh, yeah. For years now.
They have Uno de 50, Vera Bradley, Volcom, and Zara. These are just the ones that have opened already, Peter Mandel. There's more coming.
But, I mean, these are straight-up stores I can find here in the local New York, New Jersey area.
They are. However, it's a nice place to just walk around, shop for a while, and grab food. Food is really kind of the linchpin of this entire thing.
Yeah, that would be my draw.
Yeah. So you have the Morimoto Street Food, which, as we talked about last week, has an excellent menu of sushi and, like, you know, Asian tacos and the main event, those sticky ribs from Morimoto Asia. B.B. Wolf Sausage Company, the line was massive, Peter Mandel.
Did that smell like meat also?
I wasn't even able to get close enough. I tried to huff and puff and blow the line down, but I ended up just passing out.
Oh, that's funny.
They haven't opened Aristocrates yet. But the Daily Poutine is located... when I was looking around, I couldn't find the Daily Poutine like before... all this opened. I found it the other day. It is actually behind the Lego store.
Okay.
So there's an exit to World of Disney that I never even knew existed before. And it comes out right there. And then there's the Daily Poutine right there. The Daily Poutine looks at me. I saw a lot of people eating from that place. And it looked so good. Also right there. Amoretti's Patisserie. Which is like, we can go through that for a second. Amoretti's Patisserie. I actually walked in there. It's like a chocolate place, and it looked and smelled amazing. So some of the things that they have in there. Oh, wow. This is a lot of French words.
Go for it.
Lots of chocolate. Lots of pastries. eclairs. Caramel, raspberry, and lemon eclairs. Opera cake. Chocolate coffee and almond cake. Reflection in Memphis, which is peanut, blondie, banana, bacon, and chocolate, which sounds amazing.
That does sound good.
Sunrise Tokyo Bay, which is yuzu chiffon cake, matcha crumble, and mandarin. Dome cakes, chocolate, strawberry, and lemon. Strawberry Fields of OC, which are strawberry mousse, basil, sugar, and lemon curd. 49th and Broadway New York cheesecake. Viennese Waltz Sacher Torte, which is chocolate cake, apricot, and chantilly. Six different flavors of macaroon. They go from Cases Violet to caramel sea salt to pistachio, chocolate, passion fruit, and citrus. Dancing with Pavlova, which is meringue, strawberry, jelly, and chantilly. Avant-garde, caramel, chocolate, Paris, and... Okay.
You can do it.
Sunset on Mile Marker Zero, which is key lime and meringue, and petite cakes. They also have a number of beverages, cappuccinos, espressos, lattes, mostly Joffrey's beverages in there. They also have a selection of champagne and sparkling wine, which is pretty cool. So what do you think? Does that sound like a place you'd want to go?
I mean, I like a lot of that stuff, so maybe.
Deluxe Burger is also right in this area. And again, amazingly long line. Huge.
Meat smell.
And the meat smell. I could have just sat there and smelled that meat smell forever. So you had the classic cheeseburger there. And the burgers are not huge. They're like, they're smaller. Not like White Castle small, but like,
right.
Like it's probably smaller than like a McDouble.
How big's the McDouble?
I don't know. Do you not eat McDonald's?
I don't eat McDonald's now.
Okay, well then never mind, Peter Mandel. most of America just nodded along with me, just so you know.
Okay.
They have the barbecue classic burger, which is a signature blend of beef topped with fried onion rings, smoked gouda, bacon, barbecue sauce, and lettuce. The El Diablo burger, which is a chorizo and signature blend patty of fried with fried banana peppers, pepper jack cheese, lettuce, tomato, and chipotle mayo. The Southern Classic Burger, which is a signature meat blend topped with fried green tomato, pimento cheese, lettuce, and bacon. The Cluck Burger, which is ground chicken patty, garlic herb sauce, avocado, lettuce, and tomato. And the Veggie Burger, topped with tzatziki, green bean salad, lettuce, and tomato. Sides are French fries, served with a choice of four or five different dipping sauces. You can get that either regular or large. For dessert, they have a red velvet burger macaroon, which is a macaroon that looks like a cheeseburger. Pretty cool, right?
Yeah, might be a little weird to me, but okay.
They also have gelato shakes and floats. They have the vanilla gelato shake, chocolate gelato shake, strawberry, salted caramel, s'mores gelato shake, which I have to try, smoked bourbon gelato shake, beer gelato shake, cherry coke float, orange float, Godiva raspberry gelato shake. Alcoholic root beer float, alcoholic cherry coke float, alcoholic cherry coke float. What?
That sounds good.
And an alcoholic orange soda float. This might be my new favorite place.
Interesting.
Everyone is saying that this deluxe burger is like the best quick service that Disney's ever put out.
Okay.
I've seen that on more than one blog. Sprinkles. You know Sprinkles Cupcakes?
Yes.
They have a location which was very, very popular the other day. So Sprinkles is, for those of you that don't know, they are all over the place. They have what's called a Cupcake ATM. Have you ever used the Cupcake ATM, Peter Mandel?
No.
Now, much like the normal automatic teller machine that the ATM is, you know, you put your card in and money comes out. In this case, Peter Mandel, you put your card in and cupcakes come out.
Interesting.
It's pink and it had a massive line. I tried to get pictures of it, but it really kind of didn't work out that way. So cupcakes you can get, a red velvet cupcake, a vegan red velvet cupcake. A vegan red velvet cupcake. What are they using it?
I don't know.
Because like you have to use eggs. Eggs, as Kate Smith would say. A gluten-free red velvet cupcake, sugar-free red velvet cupcake, a black and white cupcake, dark chocolate, vanilla, vanilla milk chocolate, chocolate marshmallow, strawberry, a sprinkle cupcake, salty caramel, banana, carrot, coconut, and a seasonal.
Hmm.
They also have a chocolate chip cookie, gluten-free chocolate chip cookie, salted oatmeal cornflake cookie, peanut butter pretzel chip cookie, and a brownie cookie. Now, they also have, this is also an ice cream place. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not.
Get a single scoop cup and a waffle cone, a double scoop waffle cone, a kid's scoop, a waffle cone with a kid's scoop, plus toppings and sauces. The flavors are vanilla, red velvet, Captain Crunch. See, this is why I should read these things before we go on the air. Because I read that there's Captain Crunch flavored ice cream here.
Do you want to pause the show and pick it back up after you get back from there?
Yeah, I think we might have to. Hold on. Okay, I'm back.
Was it good?
I had a really long line. I didn't wait.
Bummer.
Rocky Road, cookie dough, peanut butter cup, butter pecan, dark chocolate, strawberry, mint chip, coffee, mango, sorbet, and a seasonal special. Specialty ice cream, a sprinkle sundae, a cookie sundae, a sprinkle sundae, mini sprinkle sundae, double scoop sundae, triple scoop sundae, cookie sundae, brownie sundae, and what's called a sprinkle shot, which is probably one of those, like, have you seen like those little tiny like sundaes, or like they do sometimes with like little cake cups and stuff like that in restaurants?
Yep.
I think that's probably what that is. They also have milkshakes, the sprinkle shake, a regular shake, a malt shake, and a float. And they have espresso beverages, a red velvet mocha, a vanilla latte, and an Americano. And they have outdoor seating there as well.
Can be good, can be bad.
It's right there on the water. It's very, very nice.
Oh, nice. That does sound good.
All right, ready for the main event?
Let's do it.
Yeah, the Daily Poutine, eh? Taking it right from Canada. Right there from north of the border. All right, so we're going with entrees first. You got your classic poutine with French fries, beef poutine gravy, and cheddar cheese curds, eh? You got your Latin poutine. It's fried yuca, black beans, pulled pork, and queso fresco. Italian poutine, French fries. Words that Canadians were never meant to pronounce. bocconcino mozzarella and bolognese sauce. And then you have French poutine, French fries, mushroom cream sauce, and Gruyere cheese. French-Canadian poutine, mind you. It's right there from Quebec. Yeah. Quebec, French Canada.
Got it.
They also have some alcoholic beverages there. They have Unibroek Blanche de Chambly, which is a wine, Yingling beer, and Sangria, which is actually Basso del Sol Red Sangria with Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. That sounds good. They also have a watermelon lemonade. There you go, Pete.
That sounds good.
Fountain beverages and bottled water. You know, there was some controversy. I feel like the photos that are coming out of the poutine aren't quite doing the portion size justice, because I thought that the bowl was rather big. It was bigger than I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
Everyone else is saying it looks small. But, I mean, I would say it's probably, like, more than, like, I could put my two hands around. At least that's what it looked like from a distance. I didn't have any of it.
Right.
I was there to work, Peter Mandel, not to enjoy myself, all right?
No enjoyment for you.
No enjoyment whatsoever. But now, the thing that I love most about Disney Springs is not even so much this area or the food. It's the live entertainment.
Okay.
You've got the... they've got this one gentleman who plays an acoustic guitar. He is, like... He's amazing. Like, his voice is so awesome. He plays the guitar so well. They have this one guy who plays another acoustic guitar player, but he plays, like, it's all instrumental. He doesn't sing or anything, but he just kind of, like, plays, like, it's almost like Spanish guitar. Like, you know the kind of, like, it's really fast-paced. But this dude's playing, like, behind his head. He's playing, like, up in the air. Like, this.
Did you ask if you can sing over his musical stylings?
I've tried a few times. It didn't go over well.
Okay.
Made a few enemies. Had a couple friends by doing that.
Nice.
You know, a lot of people were like, that guy's a jerk. But there were some people that were like, you know, I like this guy's style. He's not afraid to go after what he wants. Yeah, Canadians. And they have one guy who plays the saxophone. He's so good. So good. And my personal favorite, they have an electric string quartet.
Oh, nice.
They're really good. They play right outside of Fulton's, and they're great. There's only two acts that they have there right now that I don't particularly... Oh, they also have a dude that plays, like, a didgeridoo and a bunch of other, like, He plays a didgeridoo and a bunch of other instruments. That's like right outside the Harley Davidson store. There's only two acts that I really don't care for. One is like, it's like comedy rappers.
Okay.
Like they kind of like rap about like the people around them.
Okay. Sounds like it could be cool.
You know, like, I don't know, what t-shirt were you wearing? I didn't even notice.
Today?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just a straight Maleficent t-shirt.
They'd be like, yo, that guy's got Maleficent on his shirt. She turns into a dragon and it really hurt. Like, you know, they're more clever than me, but.
So it sounds like they clearly rapped about you and you were upset about that.
No, they never rapped about me because I don't stick around long enough for them to rap about me.
It sounds like they did not rap about you and you're clearly upset about that.
Well, you know what, Pete? If I'm standing there, clearly I want to be part of the show. All right. How dare they reject me?
You put on your construction hard hat and everything.
Yeah, exactly. Like, well, construction worker Kevin didn't catch their eye, so then I came back as cowboy Kevin. Then I came back as bagpipe playing Scottish Kevin. What's going on here then? I just wear like the Scottish like hat. Like the puffy hat, and I carry a bagpipe. Yeah, so the other thing I'm not crazy about is now like over in the area by the food trucks, they do a it's just like a DJ dance party.
Okay.
I'm just like, really? It's like the last thing Disney needed right now was yet another dance party.
They love their dance parties.
They are the only ones. I don't like, I feel like with all the awesome live music that they have, this dance party here, because they already do another dance party like down by World of Disney on the big stage. And I'm okay with that one. It's like, why does there need to be, why when I'm trying to order at the food truck, is there like a tween dance party going on?
Because that many people want to dance.
Okay. You know what? I guess, you know, maybe I'm like the people from that town in Footloose, but I just don't see the, I just don't see the allure.
All right.
You want to know the other like really interesting thing about Disney Springs?
Yes.
So there's a guy that I've seen there. Like, he's there like every single night. And this guy is, you know, he's an older gentleman and he's like always decked out in these like sparkly, like fancy, like glittery, like blinged out outfits. And he wears a cab driver's cap and sunglasses. And he just dances. He just dances around.
Okay.
And I've always been like, what is the story with that guy? And like, he's always there and he's always like at all different ones. Like he dances with like all the different musical acts. He's not part of the show. He's just there. And even at the guitar player who plays like the Spanish guitar, like over his head and stuff like that. Nobody dances. They just sit and watch that. This guy is still dancing there.
All right. So he's there. He's the local who's there to have a good time.
I found out who he is.
Okay.
He's Eddie Maserati. Of Maserati, the car Maserati.
Okay.
Like a legit legit eccentric billionaire who comes to Disney Springs every night to cut a rug.
No.
Pete, I swear to God, look it up.
Where did you get this from?
Oh, my cousin told me it was Eddie Maserati, and then I looked it up, and there was an Orlando Sentinel story about Eddie Maserati going to Disney Springs every night and dancing.
Okay.
It is the most bizarre thing ever. And I'm like, I was like, the only thing better than him just being some like random old dude is if he's an eccentric billionaire.
That's pretty awesome.
And sure enough, he's an eccentric billionaire. And I love it. So yeah, you know what? I think I'm giving this one to Disney Springs just for Eddie Maserati.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's going to be tough to beat.
Yeah. Wait till we have him on the show.
I was just going to say, why didn't you ask him if he wanted to come on?
You know what? He's always dancing and he's always right in the middle of it. And I just don't have the guts to approach him.
You don't got to approach him. You just got to dance up next to him.
Yeah, Pete, I can't dance, Pete.
Really?
And the big prom is 2 weeks away. What am I going to do?
You need to get Eddie Maserati to give you some lessons.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine? Like, that's like the plot of our Two Men and the Mouse sitcom 1 week, is that Eddie Maserati has to teach me to dance in like the 2 weeks before the prom that I'm taking girlfriend X to.
That's why I'm so sad. I can't dance.
I don't want other people to dance because I myself have no rhythm.
It's a good idea.
It'd be the best sitcom ever. Pete, we're going to be rich. Except we can't film at Disney.
No, that's true. But no, we'll just reenact it somewhere.
Right. We'll just build our own Disney Springs.
Yeah. We'll try and get it on Netflix. They have money.
All right, networks of Hollywood. We got a show to pitch you. Eddie Maserati has to teach Kevin to dance in time for the big prom. All right. Well, that sounds like a good episode. What do you got for the next week? What do you mean? I don't follow.
Oh, we got something for the next week.
Morgan Freeman and Kermit the Frog recite the Gettysburg Address. 67 years ago, our fathers brought upon this nation. I think we got a show here, Pete.
We could do it.
Listen, worse things have been put on the air than this.
All right.
You don't think so? Pete, Two Broke Girls exists.
Yeah, you really hate that show.
Pete, that Kevin gets taught by Eddie Maserati how to dance in time for the big prom is better than Two Broke Girls.
You think so?
Oh, Two Broke Girls is like, God help us if like 10,000 years from now, aliens find the remnants of our civilization, but the only thing that survived is a DVD of Two Broke Girls.
I don't know. I feel like when Two Broke Girls is on, it's really good.
I feel like it's just one line. It's just not funny one-liners that are spaced apart by nonstop laugh tracks that make you think that it's funny.
All right, give me a sitcom you do like.
I mean, Seinfeld.
That's on TV right now.
That's on TV right now?
Yeah.
I like The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt on Netflix. It's really funny.
It was really funny.
I started season two. I still really like it.
I think Tina Fey actually ruins her own show on this.
What, when now. She pops in occasionally?
Yep. Yeah.
I've only seen her pop in once.
You're not caught up then, huh?
No, I'm in the middle of season two. Why does she become like a major character?
I just don't love her on that. And
I didn't like her when she was Marcia Clark.
Right.
But yeah, I like that one. I like, I don't really watch a lot of sitcoms anymore.
See, that's the problem. More sitcoms, Kevin. That's what you need.
I mean, I liked How I Met Your Mother up until the last 2 years.
Last 4 years for me.
4 years, yeah. No, I was being nice. You know what? I can hear Dimitri Ravanos yelling already, but I like The Big Bang Theory.
Love The Big Bang Theory.
It's wonderful.
Why, he doesn't like it?
Oh, he hates it.
Why?
But to be fair, I haven't watched The Big Bang Theory in like 3 seasons.
Why does he hate it?
I don't know. Most of my television watching is like Disney, like Disney cartoons, like Star Wars Rebels, like action cartoons, or like superhero stuff.
Okay.
And I typically will stick to Netflix and just watch things that I can binge watch. You know?
But not Kitchen Nightmares.
All right, I'm going to go back to Kitchen Nightmares then.
I mean, you might as well watch all of them now. It's over.
Might as well, right? Fine, Peter Mandel. It's still on Netflix. I will watch Kitchen Nightmares. All right, so we need to make a final verdict here. Downtown Disney versus Disney Springs. What say you, Peter Mandel?
Man, it's a really tough call, but I'm going to go with Disney Springs because I'm an optimist.
I am also going to go with Disney Springs because I feel that Downtown Disney started to get away from what it should have been. It started becoming more debaucherous. I know I had said earlier in the show that adults need a place, and I do agree. Adults need a place, but if they can't be responsible with it and act accordingly, then they can't have it. But Disney Springs impressed me so much yesterday when I was there that I have to give it to Disney Springs. And, you know, as a local, I feel like I'm going to be there all the time now.
Yeah, I imagine you will be.
There's so many places to hang out there. And once the Coca-Cola experience opens up, that's what's going to pull you in, by the way, is the Coca-Cola experience.
You think so?
Yeah. No, I think so. The Coke product guy like yourself?
Yeah, I told you that I'm not really drinking the Coke products anymore.
You're on vacation.
That's true. Interesting. Good call, Kevin.
I told you. All right, so that about does it. You ready to get out?
Yep.
That's going to do it for Two Men and the Mouse this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. This was a fun list to do. We kind of had... We did a show, you know, on Thursday. It was kind of not much to talk about left. So we kind of gave you guys more of a silly episode this week. And I hope you guys enjoyed it. We enjoyed doing it. We're having fun, at least. So, folks, please make sure you check out our social media pages. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/twomenandthemouse. We are also on Twitter at twomenandthemouse. And the White Dragon Podcast Network is, of course, at facebook.com/WDPodcastNetwork. And also on Twitter at White Dragon PN. You can also find our Facebook discussion group, where I'm always talking to all you wonderful listeners, over at twomenandthemouse.club. Also, please make sure to check out passholder.club, the sister company to the White Dragon Podcast Network, which is giving you all the daily Orlando theme park news on the regular. We're posting every single day, latest breaking news, feature articles. Dimitri from over on the Extra Magic Hour has been writing some great articles for us. Storybook Julius from Storybook Radio has been doing some articles for us. He's got one on poutine coming out that's really good. Also, Maria Ribali from the Unleash the Magic podcast, and Kate Smith from Mouselaneous Discussions. Please tolerate her as well. Folks, if you like the show, please do us the honor of sharing it with your friends and family members. Tweet it up, talk it out, give it a rating, interview in iTunes. Every little bit helps us tremendously, and it's only through your kind words and praise that this show will continue to grow and prosper. If you love our good friend Peter Mandel and his comic book store here, Rogue Comics in Cranford, New Jersey, check him out at 105 North Union Avenue, Cranford, New Jersey, 07016. Or check out roguecomics.com, where you can find a link to Pete's eBay store. Pete just popped up into the... As I said his name, Pete popped up into the screen, like,
you
on
like
Skype.
That?
And it, like, really threw me for a loop. Folks, if you're planning a trip to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise, Adventures by Disney, any Disney park throughout the known world, or Aulani out in Hawaii, please look up our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, who will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. Dave can always be found on Facebook as Magical Travel Dave, or email him dave@magicaltravel.com. If you want to apply the wisdom of Walt to your daily life, check out The Wisdom of Walt by Jeffrey Barnes, which teaches you how to impart the wisdom of Walt Disney into your life every single day. Check that out at thewisdomofwalt.com. If you're going to the Orlando area and you're looking to rent a stroller or crib, please check out our good friends over at kingdomstrollers.com, and they will hook you up with a wonderful crib, a wonderful stroller that will be perfect for your Disney vacation. Also, for all your recipe needs, check out thecookinwookie.com. That's thecookinwookie.com, and see what Tim Elbing's got cooking up in the kitchen. And folks, for me, please check out the pre-order for my novel, Rocinante. You can pre-order it now. Special price of $3.99 for the ebook. That will go up once the release actually happens, so get it while it's super cheap. You can find it at amazon.com/author/KevinJKessler. Also, follow me on Twitter at Kevin J. Kessler. My Facebook page is facebook.com/KevinJKesslerAuthor, and check out authorkevinjkessler.com. Okay, so that does. Thank you so much for joining us again, folks, this and every week. Pete, any closing words?
I got to tell you, $4 for your book?
Yeah, $4.
That seems like a steal.
Yeah, it's a 350-page book for $4.
Wow, I hope everybody does that.
It's for the ebook.
Yeah, the ebook, I know.
Yeah, the paperback's going to be a little bit more because it has to be.
Everyone's got ebook ability now.
Yeah, but you know what? It doesn't really cost. Like, you know, you're putting up an ebook, it's like you have to print it, so there's no printing cost to cover. So right. I wanted to make it affordable for everyone.
I like that.
So, all right. So please, folks, keep the magic alive every day of your lives, and we will see you next week on Two Men and the Mouse.
So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors until the monorail stops completely and the doors open. If this concludes your visit, we hope you've had a wonderful time and will return home safely. Thank you for traveling with us.